السلام على رسول الكريم. أما بعد, welcome to you all, those of you who have arrived this evening to Masjid al-Ghuraba to listen to Shaykh Ali Hashim Halabi deliver a speech. The subject is that Ahl Sunnah are the most merciful of the people to the creation and the most knowledgeable of them of the truth. A topic, ikhwan, that the Salafis should benefit from. Those that follow this path, this righteous path of this da'wah to Salafiyyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the tawfiq to understand this in detail and give us the tawfiq to listen carefully, not fall asleep during this lecture. For indeed, if we understand this issue of mercy, rahmah, then we will understand a great deal of problems that we here in England are facing in the field of da'wah. Inshallah, we'll just wait a few minutes for Abu Salam to finish praying and we will start. Jazakumullah khair. If anybody has any questions, then you can write them down on a piece of paper, send them to the front here to me. And you can start sending them now to thank you. Jazakumullah khair.
الحمد لله وكفى, والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه أهل الود والوفا. أما بعد, فعنوان محاضرتنا لهذه الليلة الكريمة المباركة إن شاء الله الكريمة لأنها يوم من أيام الله, والمباركة لأنها في بيت من بيوت الله, وإلا فإننا نعلم كم هم تائهون وضائعون, أولئك الذين لا يعرفون الإسلام, كم يعصون الله في هذه الليلة ويرتكبون من الحرام. فالحمد لله الذي عافانا مما ابتلى به كثيرا من الناس وفضلنا عليهم تفضيلا كثيرا. أقول في هذه الأمسية الميمونة إن شاء الله سيكون منا كلام حول كلمة رائعة وجملة بديعة من كلمات الإمام العلامة شيخ الإسلام وجبل العلم الإمام الحافظ المجتهد المتفنن أبي العباس أحمد ابن عبد الحليم ابن عبد السلام ابن تيمية الحراني النميري الدمشقي رحمه الله تعالى. وهو من أئمة علماء القرن الثامن, ولكنه لم يبق في قرنه الثامن في علمه ومعرفته وجهاده, ولكنه تجاوز حدود الزمن كله ليعيش معنا بعلمه وبميراثه وبفنونه التي لا تكاد ترى أيها المسلم شيئا من فتن الزمان ولا أمرا من محدثات العصر والأوان إلا وأنت واجد له فيه كلمة أو واجد له فيه بيان أو بيانا, وما ذلك إلا لأنه جمع العلوم كلها, وهي بالنسبة إلى علم الله قليل, وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا, وإنما نريد علم الخلق وعلم الناس, علم الشرع الكتاب والسنة. ومما يذكر في كتب التراجم أن الإمام ابن دقيق العيد عندما رأى ابن تيمية قال: رأيت رجلا كأنما العلوم كلها بين عينيه, يأخذ منها ما يشاء ويزع منها ما يشاء. فمن هنا كان لكلامه رحمه الله حلاوة, وكان لبيانه جمال وطلاوة, وهذا كله مما وفقه الله تعالى إليه بسبب جهده وجهاده وفهمه لدين الله وعطائه في شرع الله تبارك وتعالى. والله عز وجل يقول: فاتقوا يجعل لكم فرقانا. فهذه علامة من علامات التوفيق وأمارة من أمارات التقوى في سلامة الطريق. فرحم الله هذا الإمام وأعظم الأجر له فيما خلفه للأمة من بعده.
شيخي بجان يا أخوان، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الأمين. After praising Allah and sending salutations upon our Prophet and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ikhwan, tonight's topic that we're going to talk about in this night, which is an honorable night, it is a Layla Kareema, and it is also a Layla that is Mubaraka. It is a night that is Kareema, noble, because it is from the days of Allah, the month of Shawwal. And it is a night which is Mubaraka because we are in the masjid, one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we recognize and we acknowledge what these people who are non-Muslims are doing by way of losing themselves and wasting money and enjoying themselves, going back and forth to and from with no direction. We are all aware and we acknowledge what they're going to fall into in this night of theirs, from that which is haram and from that which is in the ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say Alhamdulillah, who has given us the ma'afa. Allah has given us the afiyah from what He tried them with. And we say Alhamdulillah, who has honored us and chosen us above many of His creation. He gave us the tafdeel of Al-Islam. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about a kalima, or some words, some tremendous words, some super words that come from the dictionary, the vocabulary of one of the greatest imams in Al-Islam. An imam who was a mujtahid, and he was a memorizer, and he was one of precision. And he is an Imam Abu Abbas Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam al-Harrani al-Damashqi. He is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, the Shaykh went on to say that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he is an Imam who lived during the 8th century. And as far as his knowledge is concerned, and his jihad and his efforts and what he put forth in the way of knowledge, he lived in the 8th century, but his knowledge is not contained only in the 8th century. Instead, his knowledge has traveled and been relayed from the 8th century all the way through the ages up into this point right now, to the point that in the life that we're living and what we're witnessing, we'll find that his knowledge and his turab, what he left behind, his legacy of what he left behind, we have it present and readily available for us right now. So now, you will not be able to see any fitna from the fitna in this time, except that in that particular contemporary fitna of this time, you'll find some statement from this imam who lived all the way in the 8th century, directly and exactly addressing the fitna of this time. You'll find a kalima that he has said addressing the issue, or even a bayan, a detailed explanation from him talking about the fitna of what we're dealing with right now. And that is because he is an imam from the a'imma who has gathered a lot of knowledge from all of the sciences of Al-Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Quran, and you have not been given some knowledge except a little. That's what Allah said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that goes to show, Ikhwan, if Allah said that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not been given except a little bit from knowledge. It holds true with Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that their knowledge in comparison to the knowledge that is with Allah is only a little, but in comparison to the creation, they have been given a lot of knowledge. And that's why we find another scholar in al-Islam, al-Iman Ibn Daqiq al-Eid rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said about Ibn Taymiyyah, al-Iman Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, he said about Ibn Taymiyyah, I saw a man, when I met Ibn Taymiyyah, I saw him and it was as if, after meeting him, it was as if all of the sciences of al-Islam were between this man's eyes. He takes from what he wants to take and he leaves what he wants to leave in his ability to articulate and to expound upon the different sciences. The Sheikh said, and that is because Allah has blessed Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh al-Islam, with the tawfiq that is from him. The tawfiq that comes as a result of his effort and his struggle and the fact that he strove in order to get this knowledge. So Allah gave him the understanding. Allah gave him that. And that is in accordance with what Allah said in the Quran. And if you fear Allah, Allah will give you a Furqan by which to judge with. So this is one of the signs from the many signs of tawfiq that we look at. The fact that Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah had all of this knowledge, we would assume one of the signs is that the fact that he got all of this knowledge is that Allah gave him the tawfiq because he was of those who have had taqwa. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reward of what we're going to benefit, and he made a series of dua.
ولما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن من البيان لسحرا كان هذا الحديث الشريف معلما عظيما لفضل هذا البيان الذي هو حسن الكلام وطلاوته ودقته وفصاحته. لذلك كانت الفصاحة من أسباب الهدى ومن علامات التوفيق. ولما طلب موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام من ربه أخاه هارون كان من ضمن ما ذكره فيه هو أفصح مني لسانا. فهذا هو البيان الذي آتاه الله تعالى شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية النميري. وله من هذا البيان كثير من الكلمات التي سارت في الناس كأنها حكم، بل هي حكم يتداولونها ويذكرونها لأنها حوت في جمل قصيرة وكلمات يسيرة عيونا من عيون الشرع ومعاني من أحكامه الدقيقة. وهو في هذا يذكرنا رحمه الله بالإمام الشافعي محمد بن إدريس الشافعي الذي له من هذه الحكم أيضا الشيء الكثير الكثير الذي فاق به رحمه الله إخوانه الأئمة جميعا، حتى عد كلام الإمام الشافعي حجة في اللغة يقاس عليه وينظر فيه كأنما هو شعر من شعر العرب في الجاهلية الذي هو القمة في الحجة حاشا كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى. فمن العبارات التي انتشرت عن شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وطار بها لسان الذكر في الناس قوله بالصبر واليقين تنال الإمامة في الدين، فكان كثيرا ما يذكرها وكثيرا ما ينقلها عنه أبناؤه وإخوانه، أقصد بأبنائه أبناءه العلميين، لأن شيخ الإسلام لم يتزوج فضلا عن أن يكون له ولد، لكنه عاش في الذكر بين الناس كأنما له ألف ولد وولد يحملون اسمه ويرفعون رايته رحمه الله تعالى. بالصبر واليقين تنال الإمامة في الدين، لا تنال الإمامة في الدين بالمراغمة للناس، ولا تنال الإمامة في الدين بالتطاول إليها بالأعناق،
ولا تنال الإمامة في الدين بأمراض النفوس وأدواء القلوب. لا تنال الإمامة في الدين إلا بالتقوى والعلم واليقين والصبر على ما يصيب العبد من أمر الله تعالى وأحكامه. وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. هذه كلمة من الكلمات العاليات التي خلفها لنا وتركها فينا هذا الإمام الكبير رحمه الله تعالى. ومن ذلك أيضا قوله رحمه الله لما عذب واشتد عليه الخناق وأرادوا أن ينتنوا به، فإنهم لا يجدون حجة يواجهونها به ولا يجدون دليلا ينقضون به فيه قوله، وإنما لم يجدوا إلا أن يستعدوا الناس عليه بأقبح الكذب وأفجر العبارة وأفحش الكلمات. ومع ذلك كان يصبر رحمه الله. وقد ترجم ذلك تلميذه الوفي وولده النقي ابن القيم رحمه الله وهو شيخ الإسلام الثاني بحق، لما قال في منظومته النونية وقصيدته الذهبية التي تصل إلى 6000 بيت من الشعر، ملحمة إسلامية كاملة، يقول فيها وكأنه يشير إلى حال شيخ الإسلام وخصومه، قال: ما عندهم عند التناظر حجة أن بها لمقلد حيران، لا يفزعون إلى الدليل وإنما في العجز مفزعهم إلى البهتان. هكذا شيخ الإسلام وهكذا علمه. فلما ضيق عليه لم يجد إلا أن يقول: ما يصنع بي أعدائي، أنا جنتي في صدري، أينما رحت فهي معي، إذا سجنتموني فسجني خلوة، وإذا نفيتموني فنفي سياحة، وإذا قتلتموني فقتلي في سبيل الله شهادة. كلمات في جبين الدهر غالية رفيعة عالية، لأنها عليها من نور النبوة التي وفق الله تعالى هذا العبد الصالح ليختلط هذا النور بلحمه ودمه، يتشربه من كتاب الله ويتذوقه من سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن كلماته الغاليات هذه الكلمة التي نحن فيها، وهي عنوان محاضرتنا لهذه الليلة المباركة إن شاء الله: أهل السنة أعرف الناس بالحق وأرحمهم بالخلق. ما رحمناك
The Sheikh Ikhwani went on to say the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is all what he heard, still the introduction. He said that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, verily the ability to explain and the ability to articulate, a person's ability to speak and to give the bayan, in it is sihr, in it is magic. It can mesmerize. In a person's ability to talk and to articulate and to explain something, it has the effect of mesmerizing people. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the reason why the Shaykh mentioned that is he's focusing on al-bayan and the importance of having the ability to give a bayan. He went on to say this hadith carries a tremendous and a weighty understanding and a meaning. And it shows and emphasizes the importance of the husn al-kalam, the way to give speech that is clear, and the importance of al-fasaha, eloquence, to say what you have to say and to say it perfectly clear where it's not ambiguous. Sheikh said that eloquence or al-fasaha, it is one of the many reasons for al-hidayah, al-huda. A person can be guided as a result of the one who is explaining something to him explaining it to him clearly in terms that are clearly understood. So the kalimat that are described like this, they only come with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not given everyone the ability to do so. And to show the importance of al-bayan and the ability to give a clear speech in bayan is the fact that the Nabi of Allah, Musa, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send with him as an aid, as a helper, as a minister, his brother Harun, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhima wa ala nabiyyina. Musa said, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, when he asked Allah to send his brother with him, huwa afsahu minni lisana, he has more eloquence than I do in the speech. The Shaykh said that because this statement of Musa shows the importance that is placed upon al-bayan, making people understand what you have to say. Allah has given this ability to Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So as a result of that, ikhwan, he has given many statements that have been recorded, that he has mentioned. And the mere statements that he made, they have become hakam, or hikam. And I guess we can describe that in English as, not cliches, proverbs. His statements that he has given, the many statements, because he has so much knowledge and fasaha and the ability of bayan behind his statements, they have become proverbs in the religion for the Muslims all the way up into this time. And the reason for that is because his words, when he said them, they are the wells that contain the sciences of al-Islam, and they contain and entail the knowledge of prophecy. He will say a small word, a small sentence, but that small word is impregnated with multiple benefits. And that reminds us as well, and we can't fail to mention, this is not something that was exclusive to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. There were other scholars who were similar to this, like al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, he also had this ability to articulate and to say things where his words became recorded. To the point, ikhwan, the language and the scholastic aptitude in the language of al-Imam al-Shafi'i, they became proof and argument in and of themselves in the Arabic language. Meaning, his language and what he said, they became what the people used to make, or yuqasu alayhi, the people would weigh and judge what's being said. If you wanted to know, is this really from Arabic? Then they would judge it by what al-Imam al-Shafi'i said. The Shaykh, he went on to say, this is how it is with the poetry of the Arabs. The ancient poetry of the Arabs, if you wanted to know about the Arabic language, what's accepted, what's rejected, what you can do, what you can't do, you have to refer back to the language. The language of the Arabs in their poetry. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, his ability was so great that he's one of the people who, the people use his words and his language as a source of reference. And obviously, the number one source of reference for the Arabic language is the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. As it relates to al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, his ibarat, his statement, the words that he has said, they have spread out far and wide to the point that they have become commonplace on the tongues of the people. And one of the famous statements that he said that is worthwhile us understanding and knowing is that he said, with patience and yaqeen, with sabr and yaqeen, with patience and certainty, a person can become an imam, an imama in the deen. If you want to reach a high level of Islam, the level of being an imam, an imama in the religion, it is acquired by exercising a sabr wal yaqeen. That's one of the statements of Ibn Taymiyyah that have been spread out and spread around, that have been carried by his children all over the place. And when I say his children, we need to understand that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he didn't have any children, he didn't get married, he spent his life in knowledge and doing that which was in the service of Allah. But we are talking about his scholastic children, figuratively speaking, those people who have taken from his well of information as a source. So they are the ones who have spread this word. The Sheikh said, it is as if Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he has thousands upon thousands of children who carry the flag of his school of knowledge and the information that was taken from him and spread. So ikhwan, al-imama, getting the imama in the religion, it doesn't come as a result of a person going after and coveting that which is with the people, trying to get their pleasure. It is not received as a result of a person trying to make his neck the longest neck and competing with other people. It doesn't come like that. And it is definitely not acquired by those people who have diseases in their hearts. People who have diseased hearts, they cannot get the imama in the religion. But al-imama, it comes with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having knowledge and getting yaqeen and being patient, that the servant is patient upon what is going to happen to him in his role of trying to acquire that knowledge. So that statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, it has many madlulat, many to prove it, but one of the clearest ayats of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and for that reason we made them imams. For that reason we made them imams to be followed. Because they used to be patient and because of the yaqeen that they used to have. So that statement of his comes from this ayat of the Quran. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he had a lot of kalimat aliyat, very high and exalted statements that he has left for us to be guideposts and to be guided by them. When he was being persecuted and punished, he said another statement that we want to share with you, and he has many as we mentioned. When they were punishing him, those people who were his adversaries and they were his opponent, they didn't have the ability to repel his hujjah with a hujjah in the dalil. They weren't able to confront him with a confrontation that was scholastic, equal or better to what he was bringing to them. But instead, they were incapable and they were infirm. They didn't have the ability to refute. The only thing that they could resort to, his enemies, were to make their isti'dah of the people against him. They made the people become enemies to him. His opponents created enmity and hatred in the hearts of the people towards him. As opposed to repelling his proofs with their proofs, they didn't have that. So they did the next thing. They made the people hate him by spreading lies upon him, by saying the word filthy statements about him that weren't true. And his student and his son, his scholastic son, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, who the Shaykh said haqqan, he is Shaykh al-Islam al-Thani, the second Shaykh al-Islam after Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he wrote in the book of poetry, the Manzuma al-Nuniyya, in which he told these lines of poetry about what we believe and all of these other issues. He wrote and he described the condition of Ibn Taymiyyah and his opponent. And he read those lines of poetry that said that while he was debating, and these are the lines of poetry, while he was debating with his adversaries and his opponent, he left them no alternative except to destroy the one who was from Haran, where he was from. And they used as a delil nothing but the buhtan. All they did were make up lies in order to push back. That was their delil against him, to lie against him. So anyway, the Sheikh said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when they were persecuting him, he said another set of words that we want to show with you. We want to share with you. He said, my enemies, these opponents of mine, what do they think that they can do with me? How do they think that they can harm me? What do they think they're going to do with me? For verily, my Jannah is in my chest. Wherever I go, it's going to be with me. And if they imprison me and incarcerate me, then it's going to be a khalwa for me. I'm going to be there alone, and I'm going to benefit from that solitude confinement. And if they push me out and repel me and exclude me and put me out of the town, then it's going to be nothing but a siyaha or a tourism for me. When they put me out, I'm like a tourist. I'll travel like a tourist. And if they kill me, they only kill me fi sabilillah. So my enemies, what do they think they're going to do with me? So the Sheikh said, this is a tremendous statement by the Imam that comes as a result of the nur of a nubuwah that Allah gave to him and the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not everyone is blessed with the ability to live a life like that and to understand like that and to exist with that type of understanding. It's because his heart drunk from the well directly from the kitab and the sunnah, and he filled up his blood, he filled up his lahm, his meat, he filled up his whole body with the knowledge of the kitab and the knowledge of the sunnah. So those are two of the statements of Ibn Taymiyyah. The third statement is what our talk here today is about, the muhadara, and that is his statement, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ahl sunnah, the people of the sunnah, they are the most knowledgeable people about the haq. And ahl sunnah, they are the most merciful of the people to the khalq. This is what we want to talk about here today, inshallah.
وهذه الكلمة التي لا تتجاوز كلماتها 10 كلمات ولا تصل حروفها أو بالكاد إلى 50 حرفا، لكنها حوت تأصيلا علميا منهجيا لطريق الدعوة إلى الله ولأصول هذا الطريق وأسس بنيانه. ونحن نعالج هذه الكلمة جزءا فجزءا. أما أولها فقوله أهل السنة، فالكلام إذن عن أهل السنة وبعض صفاتهم وشيء من سماتهم التي ينبغي أن يعرفوا بها ويجب أن يتحلوا بجمالها. أهل السنة الذين عرفوا بها ودعوا إليها وعاشوا لها وسيموتون بإذن الله وتوفيقه عليها. أهل السنة الذين فهموا وعرفوا وطبقوا وصبروا وصابروا فكان قدوتهم الماثلة وأسوتهم الكاملة رسول الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، الذي يقول الله تبارك وتعالى فيه: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. ومن هنا نسبوا إلى السنة، بل كانوا هم أهلها الرافعين لواءها والناصرين منهجها وطريقها. فقد يكون إنسان ما مرتبطا بشيء من الأشياء، لكنه لا يكون من أهل هذا الشيء إلا إذا كان هذا الشيء أمرا كبيرا وكبيرا جدا بالنسبة إليه. فمثلا قد يكون إنسان دارسا لشيء من علوم الطب لكنه لا يكون طبيبا، وقد يكون إنسان آخر عارفا لبعض اللغات لكنه لا يكون لغويا. أما من كان من أهل السنة فليس هو فقط عارفا بالسنة، وليس فقط هو داعية أو داعية إلى السنة، ولكنه صار كأنما هو أهلها وجزء منها، وهي صارت جزءا منه، خالطت لحمه وعظمه، بحيث إذا تكلم تكلم بالسنة، وإذا نطق نطق بالحكمة، فلا يخالفها ما استطاع إلى ذلك سبيلا. وإن كان هو بشرا كالبشر، لكن فيئة السني ورجوعه إلى الحق وعودته إلى الصواب أسرع بألف مرة ومرة ممن ليس سنيا. السني يعلم أنه بشر كالبشر، يخطئ ويصيب ويعلم ويجهل، وبالتالي فإن أبواب العصمة لا تكون له، وإنما هي لأنبياء الله ورسله. وباب الكمال لا يكون عنده، وإنما هو لله العلي الأعلى ذي الإكرام والجلال. فهؤلاء هم أهل السنة الموصوفون بهذا الوصف، ليسوا هم الأدعياء، وليسوا هم الجهلاء، وإنما هم الدعاة الثابتون والأولياء الحريصون والهداة الصادقون، الذين تمثلوا علما وعملا وتصورا وتطبيقا ودعوة. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تركت فيكم أمرين ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا، كتاب الله وسنتي. هؤلاء هم أهل السنة الذين يتكلم عنهم هذا العلم الإمام شيخ الإسلام.
Our Sheikh and our teacher, Sheikh Abu al-Harith al-Harabi, he said, Ikhwan, the statement of Sheikh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, al-Sunnah, they are the most knowledgeable people of the Haqq, and they are the most merciful of the people to the Khalq, to the creation. This statement of his, these statements are not more than 10 words. You combine them, they will not exceed more than 10 words. And the huruf, the alif and the ba and the ta, the characters, the alphabet, the letters of this statement, they barely reach 50 alphabets. But in spite of that, Ikhwan, the statement, it contains a ta'seel ilmi and the minhaj of what we are upon. These small statements of Ibn Taymiyyah, he has given us a fundamental principle and understanding and concept of the dawah and the minhaj and the way of giving dawah in Allah. This word that he said, predicated upon it and built upon it, are the principles of dawah and the building of your effort in a dawah. Ahl sunnah are the most knowledgeable of the people as it relates to the truth, and they are the most merciful of the people as it relates to the creation. They are the most merciful of the people to the people or on the people. So inshallah, we're going to talk about different aspects of this statement of his. We're going to break it down and expound upon each part of what he said. When he said Ahl Sunnah are the most knowledgeable of the people concerning the truth, Ahl Sunnah, this goes to show that the kalam of Ibn Taymiyyah is not the kalam where he's talking about everyone. His kalam is on Ahl Sunnah, their characteristics, their simat by which they are known, the marks by which they are known. They are known by these marks, and as a result of that, it becomes imperative to see in them that they adorn themselves with these characteristics. They know these characteristics and they call to these characteristics. They live upon them, they will die upon them, inshallah. So they come to know these characteristics, they know them, so they bring them and become a part of them. They give dawah to these characteristics, they live on it, they die on it, inshallah. So these people from Ahl Sunnah, Ikhwan, they understand the importance of applying and having the patience and making themselves and forcing themselves to be patient upon being of the people of the Sunnah. And who else brought the Sunnah other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah ta'ala said about him, "Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah a perfect example for those who remember Allah and who believe in the last day. Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah a perfect example for those who remember Allah and they believe or they hope for the last day." The Shaykh, he went on to say, here, Ikhwan, this explains to us the importance of the Sunnah and why the people of Ahlul Sunnah, this ayah shows us why the people of the Sunnah find it imperative to make it their business to raise the banner of the Sunnah, to make it become known, to stand behind it and to defend it, and to spread its minhaj and its knowledge across the world. A person may say that he is a part of a particular thing. He may claim and say that he is a part of a particular thing, but it's only relative how much he really is considered to be part of that particular thing. And I'll give you an example to clarify what I'm saying and why I'm saying this. For an example, a person may study medicine. He may study some aspects of medicine, but because he studies medicine, he doesn't say, "I'm a doctor." The individual may have some knowledge of language, Arabic language or any language. He may study and know some aspect of the language, but he doesn't say, "I'm a proficient scholar in this language." Whereas the people of Ahlul Sunnah, when a person connects himself to the Sunnah and he becomes known by the Sunnah and he calls to the Sunnah, it is as if the whole Sunnah has become a part of him. Not he represents a part of the Sunnah. He's from Ahlul Sunnah. The Sunnah has become a part of him, and he has become a part of the Sunnah. It has mixed with his blood, his meat, and his bones. And they do not separate, because it is a part of what and who, how he is defined. The Sheikh said, so if he speaks, you will find him speaking, and his kalam is the speech of the Sunnah. And when he speaks, you will find when he speaks with wisdom, because the Sunnah is wisdom. The Sheikh said, and even if that individual who is from Ahlul Sunnah, even if he goes against some of the teachings of the Sunnah, he is a human being and we recognize that. He is from Ahlul Sunnah, the Sunnah is a part of him and he's part of the Sunnah. But he may go against certain aspects of the Sunnah because he is a human being. But his point of reference is always to acknowledge the need to always refer back to the Sunnah, to make it the point that judges in his affairs. So therefore, he is 1,000 times quicker in returning from his mistake back to the Sunnah than the one who is not upon the Sunnah, who will remain wandering on whatever issue it is that he takes as his leader. The infallibility or the ismah, to be infallible, is only with Allah, not with anyone, not from Ahlul Sunnah or anyone other than that. But he makes it an effort, a consorted effort, to be a person who is known and he is identified by the Sunnah. And the Kamal is not for him. Completeness is not with him, but completeness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Ikhwan, the other people, Ahlul Sunnah, they are not the people who are the enemies of the Sunnah. Nor are Ahlul Sunnah those people who are ignorant of the Sunnah. They don't even know the Sunnah. He said, Ahlul Sunnah are the people who call to the true Sunnah, the Sunnah of guidance. And they are the awliya, the harisin on the Sunnah. They are the ones who protect it, and they are the ones who are holding on to it. They are the guiders who are sadiqun, the guiders who are truthful in what they're saying and what they're trying to be about. So their knowledge, their actions, their tasawwur, the way they view the issue, the way they look at issues, all of that will be indicative and consistent with what the Sunnah is saying. And as such, they will be guided aright. Because the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, "Verily, I have left with you people two affairs. I have left with you two things. You will never go astray as long as you hold on to these two things, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. So they are, as I mentioned, the people of the Sunnah, and this is what Al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was talking about when he said Ahlu Sunnah.
فأهل السنة هؤلاء أيها الإخوة الأوفياء هم المعروفون بصفات حميدة متعددة، صفات بعضها أخلاقي وبعضها سلوكي وبعضها علمي، كلها من السنة وإليها دعوة. وماذا تفعلون بهذه الأحاديث التي بثثتها ونشرتها في الناس؟ فماذا كان جواب ذلك الخليفة الذكي الزكي؟ قال: تعيش لها الجهابذة ينخلونها نخلا، تعيش لها الجهابذة ينخلونها نخلا. فإذا يعيش للسنة الجهابذة، ينصرونها ويرفعون لواءها ويحمون حياضها ويناصرون أهلها ويعاضدون أتباعها. أعرف الناس بالحق، فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال؟ إذا كانوا عارفين للحق هذه المعرفة الكبيرة العالية التي هم فيها أفضل الناس بها، فماذا لهم من مثل هذه الأوصاف، هذا الوصف الأجمل والأكمل والأعلى والأولى الذي وصفه أو وصفهم به هذا الشيخ الإمام؟ أعرف الناس بالحق. فهم إذا خالفوا أحدا إنما يخالفونه لمخالفته للحق لا لإرضاء بعض الخلق، وهم إذا ناصروا أحدا إنما ينصرونه لما معه ولما هو عليه من الحق، لا ينصرونه لقبيلة ولا لعشيرة ولا للون ولا لجنس ولا لمذهب ولا لشيخ ولا لطريقة، لأنهم عرفوا الناس بالحق، مرتبطون به، ملتزمون بأنواره، مهتدون بأثاره. أعرف الناس بالحق، هم يطبقون في هذه المعرفة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. ويطبقون قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أحب لله وكره لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. يعيشون له ويموتون بتوفيق الله تعالى عليه. فهذه المعرفة معرفة ذاتية، لكنها ذات آثار خارجية، لكنها ذات آثار في الخارج، كالإضاءة إشعاعها ذاتي لكن آثارها منتشرة كالشمس والقمر، كالنجم في السماء المظلم، ينيرون الطرق وينشرون الضياء في القلوب والعقول، لأنهم عاشوا لهذا الحق وكافحوا من أجله وصبروا عليه، مذكرين ومتذكرين قول رب العالمين فيما يبتلون به نتيجة تمسكهم بهذا الحق: ولنصبرن على ما آذيتمونا. ويتذكرون قوله تعالى: وبشر الصابرين. ويتذكرون قوله تعالى: وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
The Shaykh went on to say that those people from Ahl Sunnah, they are the people who are well known by characteristics that are praiseworthy. and they are many, they are mutaaddida, multiple and varied. They're known by characteristics that are connected to their akhlaq, connected to their character. They're known by characteristics that are connected to their suluk, their behavior. They are known by characteristics that are connected to knowledge. There are many, many characteristics that describe them. Sheikh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, their dawah to the sunnah and being upon the sunnah is that they come together for the sake of the sunnah and the sunnah alone. So Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, after identifying who he's talking about, Ahl al-Sunnah, he went on to describe them. And from their descriptions is that they are the A'ruf al-Nas. They are the A'ruf al-Nas, the most knowledgeable of the people as it relates to the Haqq. This is a characteristic. So Ikhwan, your knowledge about a particular thing, it is not praiseworthy to be knowledgeable about a thing and it's just something you just know about some aspect of it. The Sheikh said the knowledge of Ahlul Sunnah about this particular thing, even though it is not complete, they do not have all knowledge of the religion, but they almost have all of the knowledge, because completeness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that the Imam, he made this statement, it goes to show when he said that they were the A'ruf al-Nas, the Sheikh said linguistically, this is called from the af'al of at-tafdil. When you use the verbs that denote something is better than another thing, like a person is most knowledgeable, most merciful, most high, most generous. Ibn Taymiyyah used that way of describing them, and this is a virtue in and of itself from his understanding, that he said they are the most knowledgeable, the a'rafu al-nas, concerning the truth. He didn't say that Ahl al-Sunnah know the truth. He didn't say that Ahl al-Sunnah, they know the Haqq. He said that Ahl al-Sunnah are the most knowledgeable people about the Haqq. As it relates to the Haqq here is clear, talking about the Kitab and the Sunnah. They know most about the Book of Allah and about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. They are the people who live upon these two sources, and they live for these two sources. And to prove the point that they live for the Sunnah, Ahl al-Sunnah, they live for the Sunnah, I want to share with you an incident that happened with one of the intelligent khulafa, one of the intelligent khalifas for this ummah in the past. They brought a man to him in order to be dealt with, to deal with the man. He was a pathological liar who used to lie intentionally on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by fabricating all kinds of hadith and attributing those hadith to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hundreds. And then the Sheikh said, instead, thousands of fabricated hadith. So when they brought him to the Khalifa, instead of being afraid, the man was arrogant and he said, oh, I've fabricated so many hadith, what are you going to do to me now? There's so many hadith, they're in the ummah and they're spreading. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do. The intelligent Khalifa, he said, as it relates to the Sunnah and Ahl al-Sunnah, he said, verily, the Sunnah has its experts who live for it. They live for the Sunnah. And they are going to find your hadith and they're going to take them and they're going to sort them out and distinguish what you said from what was right and what was wrong. So the Sheikh said the point that he's trying to get from that statement of that intelligent Khalifa is that Ahl al-Sunnah, they live for the Sunnah. So he went on to say that there will be those people from the Sunnah who will always make the issues of the Sunnah clear. They live for the Sunnah and they are experts. They will protect the Sunnah and safeguard the Sunnah and help the Sunnah. They will spread the Sunnah. They will be sources of empowerment to those other people who are on the Sunnah, and that when they come together, they will support each other. They are the A'raf al-Nas. They know the Sunnah the best. and they live for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that distinguishes the haq from the batil. And then he said the ayat of the Quran, and what comes after the haq other than balad, being astray and misguided. So ikhwan, this characteristic that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah described them with when he said that they were the a'rafu nas, when Ibn Taymiyyah said Ahl al-Sunnah are the most knowledgeable people of the Sunnah, this description that he gave was akmal, and it was ajmal, and it was a'la. It was the most complete and the most dutiful and the most high, the best description that could be given to them. He said, if a person, speaking about Ahl al-Sunnah, ikhwan, in their description, if a person takes a position or he says a statement that is in contradiction to the Sunnah, they are not afraid of going against that individual. They will help and defend the Sunnah because they are upon it. They won't help a person because of their qabila or because of their ashira. They won't help a person because of their tribe or because of their relatives and their family. They won't help a person because of his color, because of his nationality, because of a sheikh. They won't help a person simply because of the sheikh or a sheikh, or because of his tariqah or his madhhab. They help the people based upon their position concerning the haq, concerning the sunnah, because they are connected to the sunnah and they are defenders of the sunnah, and it is what is most important to them. So their support and their enmity is based upon people's positions as it relates to the sunnah. So therefore we get a practical application of theirs, where they show us the understanding of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said that the awfaq ura of, I guess we could describe it as the strongest button of Islam, is loving for Allah and hating for Allah. That's Ahl al-Sunnah. The strongest ura, the urwa is like a button. The strongest one is loving someone for Allah and hating that individual for Allah. They have shown us, because they are upon the sunnah and from the sunnah and defenders of the sunnah, they have shown us also that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, verily whoever loves for Allah and he hates for Allah and he gives for Allah and he refrains from giving for Allah, verily his iman has become complete. His iman is complete. So that is the strongest example of a person's Islam, and this is how Ahl al-Sunnah take their position and they base their opinions, because they live for the Sunnah and upon the Sunnah, and inshallah they die for the Sunnah and upon the Sunnah. So the knowledge of the Sunnah, ikhwan, it has to be a knowledge that is dhatiyah. It is a knowledge that is in the essence of the Sunnah itself. You have to have knowledge about that particular thing. And having knowledge of the Sunnah, it has its external asar. It has its asar kharijiyah. When you are knowing the Sunnah, for the Sunnah, there are some external effects and impacts that having knowledge of the Sunnah, it brings. Similar to the light. And the Shaykh, he pointed to the light. He said that light, if you look at that lamp, it has light within itself. Knowledge of the sunnah itself. That light has now, that bulb has light within itself. But look at the external effect of the light. It goes out and you can see. So it's like the light of the sun, like the light of the moon, the light is like the light of a star on a dark night. And this is what the sunnah does for the intellect, for the uqul, the minds of the people, and the qulub of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, and verily we are going to make you patient on what, or the believer said, verily we're going to be patient on what they annoyed us with, their other. And he mentioned another ayat, and Allah said, give glad tidings to those people who are patient. and Allah said in the Quran, and they mutually cooperate upon the haq and upon as-sabr.
فالتمسك بالحق أيها الإخوة في الله علم ونور، كما أن التخلف عنه جهل ونار. من أجل هذا وبسببه أيقن أهل السنة الذين هم أعرف الناس بالحق أن الواجب الحتم اللازم عليهم يملي عليهم في هذا الحق أن يطبقوا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. فهم يحبون هذا الحق لأنفسهم كما يحبونه لغيرهم، لذلك يبينون ويصبرون ويصابرون ويجتهدون وينصرون من هو أهل للنصر ولو كان صغيرا ضعيفا، ويخذلون ويبادون من خالف الحق ولو كان كبيرا جبارا في الأرض ما استطاعوا إلى ذلك سبيلا. فهم بحق أعرف الناس بالحق، هذا كله الأثر الذاتي الداخلي، لكن هذا الأثر ولا بد كالقمر والشمس والنجم لابد أن ينعكس على الآخرين رحمة وهداية ولينا ولطفا ورقة، فكانوا به وأرحمهم بالخلق. أعرف الناس بالحق وأرحمهم بالخلق. وهنا لابد من تنبيهين دقيقين. أما الأول أنه لم يقل أرحمهم بالناس، وهذا له لفتة، ولم يقل أرحمهم بالمسلمين، وهذا له لفتة أيضا. إذا قال أرحمهم بالناس فحينئذ هم يرحمون فقط أبناء آدم، أما الدواب والبهائم والأمور الأخرى أو الأمور الأخرى التي خلقها الله للناس فهذه الأمور لو أنهم لم يرحموها ولو أنهم عذبوها لكان ذلك غير داخل في هذه الصفة لهم. فلم يقل أرحم الناس، إنما أتى بكلمة أشمل الخلق، كل الخلق، ولم يقل المسلمين. فحينئذ إذا قال المسلمين فإنه يجوز لك أو لا يجب عليك على الأقل أن لا ترحم غير المسلمين. والله تعالى يقول: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. العالمون أي جميع العوالم التي خلقها الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الجن والإنس والخلق بكافة عوالمه. فالرحمة كما هي للمسلم هي لغير المسلم. في دعوتك له للإسلام ترحمه، في دعوتك له لهذا النور تخرجه من الظلمات التي يتخبط فيها إلى النور الذي تنعم به. وكم كان منا من شارد فرده الله إلى الحق، وكم كان منا من فاسق فسار من الطائعين، وكم كان بيننا من كافر فصار من الدعاة إلى الله المتمسكين بسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا وذاك والثالث والرابع لو أنهم رأوا من هؤلاء الدعاة إلى الإسلام الغلظة والحنق والسخط والتجبر في الأرض، هل عرفوا الإسلام؟ وهل آمنوا بالإسلام؟ وهل أسلموا قيادهم لنبي الإسلام؟ لا، لأنهم لم يعرفوا حقيقة الإسلام. لذلك الرحمة تولد اللين والرفق، وهذا خطاب من الله لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أكرم الناس وأشرفهم بعد الأنبياء وهم الصحابة. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم. الرحمة تولد اللين، فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم. ولو كنت، الخطاب لمن؟ ممن؟ من الله لمحمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولو كنت فظا غليظا، تأملوا كلمة فظ حروفها فظة، فظ غليظة، غليظ حتى الحروف غليظة وفظة. ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك، مع أنه منصور بالله ومؤيد بالوحي من الله ومسدد في كل كلمة وحرف وجملة، لكن هذا خطاب له، والمراد به عموم الأمة، لأنه الأسرة الكاملة والقدوة الماثلة صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فمن هنا جاءت الكلمة الحكيمة: وأعرف الناس بالحق وأرحم الناس بالخلق، ليشمل ذلك كل مخلوق، إنسانا كان أم غير إنسان، مسلما كان أم غير مسلم، طائعا كان أم غير طائع، لنقرب له النور ولندنيه إلينا بعيدا عن النار، عسى أن نكون في ذلك حسب، مطبقين لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم آنف الذكر أو آنف الذكر: والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه.
The Sheikh, he said, Ikhwan, so therefore it is important for us to cooperate upon the haq, and to cooperate on the haq entails having knowledge of it and also spreading its knowledge. The Sheikh said, and it is important that we leave alone and we get away from, and we understand not cooperating upon the haq and having knowledge, it brings about ignorance, and the ignorance leads to the punishment of the fire. So therefore, Ikhwan, as a result of that, Ahl Sunnah, they have the yaqeen that it is an imperative, wajib action upon them that they practice and apply the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to them being the most merciful of the people to the creation. They practice the statement where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hand, none of you believe until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in, none of you truly believe until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. So as you can see from this hadith, Ahl Sunnah, the people who are the people of the Sunnah, they love the haq, and just as they love the haq for themselves, from their description is they shall love the haq for the other people as well. They make it their business to explain the haq to those who do not know. They make it their business to spread the haq. They make it their business to get behind and to defend and support the haq, even though the one who is saying the haq, he may be saghir and he may be da'if. He may be small, young, and he may be weak. But because the haq is with him, they're going to support him. And they're going to be against those people who are against him. Even though the one who they are against, he may be kabir, and he may be from the big oppressors, and he may be from the best of the people, but because he opposed the haq, they are against him. None of you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So Ahl Sunnah, Ikhwan, they are the most knowledgeable of the people as it relates to the truth. And their knowledge of the Sunnah, again, it is an internal knowledge, the knowledge of essence. And it is necessary for that knowledge to spread and to have its external impact, just like the moon and the sun and the stars. This knowledge of theirs, it has to turn into rahmah for the creation, hidayah for the creation, dealing with the creation with softness and with what is in their best interest. Now we come to the next aspect of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and he said that Ahl al-Sunnah are the Arhamul Nas. They are the most merciful of the people to the creation. Shaykh said there are two points that we want to mention here that we have to pay attention to, and they are precise points that we want to draw your attention to. In his statement, Ahl al-Sunnah are the Arhamuhum. They are the most merciful of the people to the khalq. Shaykh said, the first point that we want you to ponder upon is that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he did not say Ahl al-Sunnah are the most merciful of the people upon the people, or to the people, or towards the people. He didn't use the word Nas. He didn't say they're the most merciful to the Nas. He said they're the most merciful to the khalq. This is something that we have to look at and we have to consider. He said he didn't say they're the most merciful of the people to the Muslims. If he would have said the Muslims, the fact that he didn't say it is something we have to look at. He said, had Ibn Taymiyyah said they are the most merciful of the people on the people, on the Nas, he said then all he's talking about is they have mercy upon the sons and the daughters of Adam, but they're not necessarily merciful towards the animals and towards the baha'im, the sheep and the cattle. If they were to oppress the animals, and if they were to oppress other than Bani Adam, then this characteristic of theirs would not be complete. But when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said they are the most merciful of the people to the khalq, the whole creation, then this statement is ashmal. It is more comprehensive and it includes more than saying they are the most merciful of the people upon the people. Had Ibn Taymiyyah said that Ahl al-Sunnah were the most merciful towards the Muslims, then it would not become an obligation upon them based upon that to be described as people who oppress non-Muslims. They may oppress non-Muslims and the definition would not be applicable. And as we mentioned earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have not sent you except a rahmah to the alameen. And the Shaykh said, Ikhwan, al-alimun, al-alamun, al-alamun, it is the plural of that is awalim, meaning all of the creation. As we say, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So that includes the jinn, mankind, and all of the creation, without any exception. But the Shaykh said, having rahmah upon the Muslim, and having rahmah upon other than the Muslim, in our dawah, we have rahmah upon them, and that we're calling them with rahmah, and we're calling them to rahmah. To take them out of the depths of the darkness and the ignorance of what they are in, and bringing them and leading them into the light of Al-Islam and guidance. How many people from amongst us, Ikhwan, the person was shoddy. He was just running away and he was lost in his misbehavior. How many people were like that from amongst us? How many people, and now he became guided? How many people from amongst us, we were fasiq? He was a fasiq. And then Allah guided him back, and now he is a righteous individual who is trying to do the right thing. How many people from amongst us, he was a kafir, he didn't even believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then he became from the du'at who are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's holding on to the kitab and the sunnah to the best of his ability. All of this comes from this rahmah, the rahmah of giving dawah. The Shaykh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, if we were to see if a person, the non-Muslim, if they were to see that we were rough and we were tough and we were oppressive, would they come to know about the religion of Al-Islam? Would any of them embrace the religion of Al-Islam? Would they come to know about the haqiqah of Al-Islam, the reality of Al-Islam? He said, of course not. We have to give dawah, and this knowledge that we have on the inside has to go out and affect the people. So another point that we want to make is al-rahmah, having this mercy it necessitates softness and rifq. Ar-Rahma necessarily brings about a lean, being gentle, and a rifq, being easy. If a person has this rahma in his dealings, then naturally it necessitates that being soft and gentle will also be a part of his repertoire of what he's using to call people and deal with people. Allah said in the Quran, and because of a rahma from us, you were soft with them. So the Shaykh, he reiterated, Allah said, because of the rahma, you had a lean, you were easy, you were soft. So lean, being lenient and being soft and easy, if a person has rahma, naturally that comes. As a result of the rahma from us, you are easy with them. And had you been rough and tough and coarse, they would have dispersed from amongst you. The Shaykh became very animated and started to say, this speech of this ayat comes from who? He said it came from Allah, and it was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even the words themselves that are used in this ayat, they are words that describe rough and tough. They are words in themselves. The nature, the way they are, the texture of the words in the language, they are rough and tough. And he said the word fadl, which is the word that's rough to pronounce, the letters that pronounce it is a rough word. And also he said the word ghaliz, which is also a heavy and a tough word. So it's a tough word in itself, and the meaning itself implies toughness. The Shaykh said this was said to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that had he been rough and tough with the people, they would have dispersed from amongst them. And Rasulullah is Mansur. He is divinely helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is Musaddad. He is Musaddad in every kalima and in every sentence. Every word that he says is the correct word. Every sentence that he says is the correct word, is the correct sentence. So even though Allah said this to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its meaning is applicable to all of us. If you're rough and you're tough, it's going to create problems. So Rasulullah, he was the example for us, the qudwa for us. So we have to learn from this ayah and from this example. So therefore, ikhwan, they are the arhamun nas to the khalq. They have the most mercy of the people upon the creation. That means upon mankind and other than mankind, upon the Muslims and other than the Muslims. They have the most mercy for those who are obedient and those who are disobedient alike. And they bring close to the creation the nur and the light of Islam and the hidayah of al-Islam. Again, this is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself.
ولما كنا أيها الإخوة في الله نعيش اليوم مرضا اجتماعيا كبيرا لا تكاد تخلو منه طبقة من طبقات المجتمع، وهو مرض تسمية الأشياء بغير اسمها، كان لابد من التنبيه على شيء متعلق بذلك. فمثلا قتل المريض كما ذكر بعض الشيوخ في المحاضرة الافتتاحية، قتل المريض اليوم يسميه أو تسميه بعض القوانين الوضعية الموت الرحيم. هو قتل متعمد لكنهم يسمونه إيه؟ القتل الرحيم. وهلا يكون قتل رحيما يوما؟ وقد تكون الرحمة المؤداة بصورة شرعية عند بعض الناس تساهلا وتهاونا وتضييعا للحق، هذا أيضا من باب تسمية الأشياء بغير اسمها. ولا ينبغي لأحد أن يظن أو أن يتوهم أن الشدة في الدين دائما محمودة، أو أنه حتى تكون مقبولا لابد أن تكون غليظا شديدا. والله يا إخواننا، إن الحزم في الثبات على الحق ولو باللين هو أعظم وجوه هذا الحق. لذلك ماذا يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ ليس الشديد بالسرعة الذي يفرع نفسه من شدة الغضب والتصخط، ولكن الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب فيرحم بغضبه ويرحم في فرحه. لذلك بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من العدل، أن من المنجيات العدل في الغضب والرضا، ولا يكون هذا إلا من صاحب القلب الرحيم. وأذكر على ذلك مثلين. مثل من سيرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومثل من سيرة شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. أما مثل سيرة النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو حديث عائشة عندما مر يهودي بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فسمعت عائشة رضي الله عنها النبي يرد سلامه لكنه يقول وعليك، لم يقل ما تسمعه دائما أو لم تسمع ما يقوله دائما وعليكم السلام أو وعليك السلام، قالت وعليك. قالت يا رسول الله إنما قلت وعليك، فماذا قال؟ فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما قال السام عليك والسام الموت. فغضبت أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها، قالت عليهم السام والموت واللعنة إخوان القردة والخنازير رضي الله عنها. فماذا كان جواب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي قال الله فيه وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، والذي قال عن نفسه إنما أنا رحمة مهداة، إنما أنا رحمة مهداة. قال يا عائشة ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه، وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. مع أنها تقول ذلك في عدو من أعداء الله وأعداء رسوله. فانظروا كيف تؤدي الرحمة إلى اللين، وكيف يفعل اللين بأهله وأصحابه. وأما المثل الثاني فأثر شيخ الإسلام الذي نقله عنه تلميذه ابن القيم، لأن ابن القيم عاش مع شيخ الإسلام سنوات، فكان يتعلم منه العلم والخلق والسلوك والأدب وكل خير يعلمه منه. قال جئت إلى شيخ الإسلام، قال هذه الكلمة في كتاب مدارج السالكين، قال جئت إلى شيخ الإسلام أبشره بموت بعض أعدائه، وأعداء شيخ الإسلام كثيرون، وشوبه وسجنوه وأذوه وعذبوه وهو صابر. وفي فترة من فترات ألان الله قلب بعض الحكام شيخ الإسلام، فقال له هؤلاء أعداؤه ماذا تفعل بهم، ماذا تأمرنا نفعل بهم؟ قال أعفو عنهم. عجبوا، عجب أولئك الأعداء. قال عجبنا لابن تيمية، قدرنا عليه فظلمناه، وقدر علينا فعفى عنا. قال ابن القيم جئت أبشر شيخ الإسلام بموت بعض أعدائه، فغضب مني وتسخط علي، ثم قال لا تقل هذا، ثم أخذني وذهب بي إلى أهله وإلى أسرته وذويه يقول لهم أنا لكم مكانه، أنا لكم مكانه، فأي شيء تريدون أنا بين أيديكم. فكان لفعله أثر وأي أثر في تطيب نفوس هؤلاء وتأديبهم وإيجاد أجمل صور الخير والخلق لهم. هذا إخواني شيء يسير مما ينبغي أن يعلم عن أهل السنة وعن حقهم وعن رحمتهم، ولكن هذا كله تأصيل عام في إطار شامل له تفصيلات كثيرة وكثيرة وكثيرة. ف للكفار أحكامهم في الدعوة والقتال والجزية والإكراه أو عدم الإكراه في الدين، وللمبتدعة وأهل البدع وأصحاب البدع أحكامهم، فالمواقع للبدعة غير صاحب البدعة، وصاحب البدعة غير المبتدع، والمبتدع غير الداعي إلى البدعة. كل لهؤلاء أحكامهم، كيف ندعوهم ومتى نهجرهم وكيف نحكم عليهم. وهذا قد يكون محتاجا لا أقول إلى محاضرة بل إلى محاضرات. أقول هذا حتى يفهم الفاهمون ويعرف العارفون أننا بحمد الله ومنته نعرف مواضع أقدامنا، ونفهم جيدا أن أهل البدع لهم الذل والصغار، ولكن إذا علمنا منهم مضادة لهذا الحق. وإلا كم من رجل كان مبتدعا فصار سنيا لولا أنه وجد الرحمة في السنة والرحمة في أهل السنة. وقد يكون من الرحمة أحيانا الإغلاظ في القول، لكن كل له مكانه وكل له موضعه وكل له أهله. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الشيخ after that, Ikhwan the Sheikh, he went on saying, he completed the talk by saying, right now the problem in the society, they are many, and there are many sicknesses in the society that we can talk about, but there's one in particular before we finish that we want to address, and that is the problem of naming things by their improper names. One of the things that people in society are doing right now is that they are giving and attaching names to things that they change the meaning. He said, for an example, one of the shuyukh in the opening symposium, he referred to this issue when he talked about killing a person who was sick. Person who is terminally ill, they may come and they may kill him. So instead of calling it murder and instead of calling it killing, they say that it is a mercy killing. It's a mercy killing. They change the name from its reality. Sheikh, he went on to say, no one from amongst you should understand as a result of that.
Brothers, please, يا أخو العرب من فضلكم لا تخرجون من مقاعدكم، اجلسوا على الأقل تتعلمون شيئا من اللغة الإنجليزية على الأقل.
So the Sheikh said it's not befitting for anyone to mistakenly believe that to be shadid, always to be rough and tough and coarse, that this is praiseworthy. Always being rough and tough. There may be a fitna that people are dealing with. Do not think that always the way that you're going to remain or solve the problem is by repelling it with what is rough and tough. He says sometimes the true thabat upon the haq with patience and being easy is sometimes the best solution to a particular problem. Look at what the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he proved this point in the authentic hadith, when he said he is not shadid, he is not strong, the one who can overpower you wrestling you to the ground. He's not strong, the one who can overpower you with his muscles, he can wrestle you to the ground. But the strong one is the one who can control his anger. He can control his anger. He has rahmah when he's ghadab, when he has ghadab, and he has rahmah when he's angry, and he has rahmah when he is happy as well. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about the munjiyat, those things that will save you, he told us that there are three things that will save you. One of the things that he mentioned that will be a cause of your salvation in this life is that he said one of the things that will save an individual is an adl, being fair and just when the person is angry and when the person is upset, happy. Being able to be fair and just whether you are angry or whether you are pleased. Because this is an indication. The person who has this ability, it's a proof that his heart is a heart that is Rahim. He has Rahmah in his heart. And I want to give you two examples of this. Being just and fair when you're angry and when you're upset. And the type of heart it shows the person has. The first example comes to us from the seerah, the history of our Prophet and our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second example comes from the life of the Shaykh and the Imam who we're talking about here today, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah radiyallahu anhu. In the hadith of Aisha, our mother, may Allah be pleased with her, when a Jew passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Messenger of Allah, As-Samu alayka. The Shaykh said, As-Sam means death. May death be upon you, Ya Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded back to him by simply saying to the man, Wa alayk, and also upon you. So when Aisha heard the response of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she wasn't used to that response. She was used to the other response. So she became agitated just because she understood what the Jew said and because she never heard that response from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So in her defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, she blurted out to that Jew, and may death be upon you too, and may you die, and may the curse of Allah be upon you, you descendant of monkeys and pigs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.